The Morality of God in the Old Testament, Christian Answers to Hard Questions Series, G.K. Beale, PNR 2013, 48 pages. Dr. Gregory Beale is Professor of New Testament and Biblical Theology at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. Last year, PNR published this little book as part of its Christian Answers to Hard Questions Series. It is only 48 pages. But in our judgment, it will be perhaps the most useful handling of the subject on your bookshelf. Beale's handling of the question is largely unique, and although so brief, it is comprehensive and convincing. So we thought our members would enjoy having this bonus summary. Skeptics have long charged that the Old Testament commands of God to exterminate the Canaanites, as well as the imprecatory Psalms, reveal an inconsistency on the part of God that is not in keeping with the morality He Himself is said to require. How can we justify His command to the Israelites to annihilate whole people groups, non-combatants, women, children, all? Some attempts to answer the question have been offered that Beale finds to be less than completely satisfying, and he recites them briefly. Most would acknowledge that there is a wartime ethic that stretches the normal bounds of justice, but even the extenuating circumstances of war do not account for the intentional extensiveness of the commands God gives to the Israelites concerning the Canaanites. So also, even if these commands were not to be understood literally, details remain that such considerations simply cannot handle. And in any case, it certainly appears that the commands were intended to be taken, at least essentially, literally. This latter suggestion, that the extermination commands are not to be understood literally, would dissolve the problem considerably, and as such, it is an important consideration, and so Beale treats it separately in a 10-page excursus at the end of the book. Beale proposes his own fivefold approach to the question. In his own words, this approach is as follows. First, how does the killing of the Canaanites demonstrate God's justice and righteousness? Second, how could Israel's unique commission as a kingdom of priests, Exodus 19:6, shed light on the extermination of the Canaanites? Third, how does God's sovereignty over all things help us to better understand that He can be considered blameless in all that He does, despite the problems just mentioned above? Fourth, how does the idea of God's judgment of unbelieving humanity at the end of time shed light on this problem? Finally, how does the law of loving one's neighbor now and at the end of time help us to better apprehend the issue about the Canaanites and the psalmist's cursing of his enemies, though this last point has some overlap with the fourth point? Here, he suggests that there are unique redemptive historical considerations involved in 1. The execution of justice against a wicked nation, 2. The establishing of the nation from whom the promised Messiah, the world's Savior, would come, and 3. Purify the promised land as a sanctuary. Israel was not involved in mere ethnic cleansing. Moreover, God rules sovereignly over all His creation, and He has indisputable rights over all life and death, and He is free in the temporal executions of His justice. God has rights over all, and He is without external restraints in His inflicting of justice, just as He is in His extending of mercies. Further, such executions of temporal judgment are suspensions of His common grace that marks this age generally, providing a preview of the end-time judgment that will come to all. That the Old Testament judgments do, in fact, foreshadow and point forward, as types, to the end-time judgment Beale establishes from New Testament interpretations that are given them. Beale, of course, has established a solid reputation in this regard. See his handbook on the New Testament use of the Old Testament, Baker Academic. And his samples here illustrate his point vividly, especially Psalms 69 and 137, and the various Old Testament allusions in the judgment passages in Revelation. Pushing this point a bit further, and as an extension of it, Beale demonstrates that in the end, love for the ungodly will no longer be required of the godly, but they will instead take sides with God in judgment over them. The imprecations of the Psalms, then, Beale argues, reflect this eschatological frame of reference. Beal's point is not that each of these considerations answer all questions involved, but that these considerations together provide a sufficient framework in which the answers may be found. Some may object to all this, claiming that it would lead to moral relativity, that at our own whim we could justify our own suspension of normal ethical obligations with reference to our enemies. But Beal reminds us that, one, these Old Testament exceptions were at unique redemptive historical turns, and, two, they find their fulfillment in Christ, whether his first or second advent. It is not left to us simply to decide where to apply it otherwise. Copyright 2014, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only and, except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or part without express written permission.